Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis 41. Genesis chapter 41. This evening I'd like to deal with just one verse, verse 14. Coming up to this verse, Pharaoh has dreamed two dreams. But none of the magicians in Egypt can interpret the dreams. And upon hearing the words of Pharaoh concerning his dreams and seeing how troubled was his spirit, his butler remembers his own fault. Now here, this butler is a fit type. We looked at this last time. He's a fit type of an awakened sinner, spiritually awakened, one to whom the Lord has shown mercy. And this butler, as a regenerated sinner, he confesses his guilt. He remembers his former bondage in the darkness of sin and unbelief, as every child of God does before the Lord calls him by grace. And he spoke, he remembered in the dream that he had, as opposed to the dream that another was that was in there with him, a baker had. He remembered that the dreams magnified the Lord's distinguishing grace to have mercy and compassion unto one and to leave another to himself. All this according to God's good will and purpose. So we see in this dream, the remembrance of this dream, that the potter himself, the Lord himself, has the right to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor. Now this butler, upon remembering his fault, he told Pharaoh of Joseph. Now, Joseph here is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's prophet, God's interpreter. He's the revealer of the Lord's will and counsel. But not only was Joseph a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was also shown to be a picture and a type of the preachers of the gospel. That butler was caused to cross paths with a preacher. Now, a preacher, one that has been sent of God to preach the message of God's free and sovereign grace to unworthy sinners. And they're calling out, that preaching the gospel, that the power of God unto salvation. Well, then the butler related the certainty of the outcome. He talking about the surety of what happened concerning those dreams and the interpretation that Joseph had given concerning that word of God that does not return unto the Lord void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which it's sent. So the butler has related all of this to Pharaoh. Pharaoh dreams his dreams. He can't interpret them. Didn't know them. The magicians can't interpret them. And Joseph tells him, he said, I know a guy that I was in prison with, and he told me of the interpretation of my dream and the baker's dream. And then the scripture says in verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Now, I want to just look at that 14th verse right there, because that verse right there is just so complete and so revealing of the experience. And that's what it is, the experience of one that the Lord calls to himself. That verse of scripture Neil, this is one that it just preaches itself. Just look at it. Just look at it. And there it is, right there. I just want us to look for just a few minutes at this one verse of Scripture. I want us to look, first of all, at the authority and the power of the one who calls. Now, Pharaoh here is a picture. He's a picture of the Father. And so here's Pharaoh. And look at the first three words. And Pharaoh sent. And Pharaoh sent. As a picture of the Father. Who has sent the Lord Jesus Christ? The Father. The Father. That's what he done. The Scripture says that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the submissive servant, he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. The Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God himself. In submission unto the Father. Here he is. It says, and Pharaoh sent. There's the authority of the one who sends his servant to get his people. The Lord Jesus Christ said, John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. You know, anybody in that kingdom could have just uttered the words that the king uttered. Anybody could have merely said the words. But without the power and without the authority of the one that is being sent for, those words mean nothing. So here, this king, this Pharaoh, picture of the Heavenly Father, he has the right, he's got the authority, he's got the power to speak. And it is. In the beginning, God said, and it was. So here, the first thing I see the authority of one. And Pharaoh sent. Now look what next three words. And called Joseph. I want you to notice the authority that calls, but look at the singleness of who he called. He sent and called Joseph. Now, let me ask you this. Why didn't everybody else come out of the prison? The king didn't send for them. The king didn't summon them. Only Joseph was called. No one was summoned but Joseph. And here in picture we behold how the Lord calls his people out in particular. He calls his sheep, he calls them by name, calls them out of the dark dungeon and darkness of sin and unbelief. He said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. So Pharaoh sent and he called Joseph. Whenever the Lord was pleased to call two brothers, Scripture says, Matthew 4, he called two brothers, Simon Peter, Andrew, his brother. And this is what Matthew 4:19 says. Follow me. He's talking to two brothers. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The Lord was walking one day past a little old table there where a fellow, name was Matthew the publican. He was sitting, Scripture says, and he was collecting taxes, receipt of custom. And Scripture says, and he, that is the Lord, saith unto him. Saith unto him. This is what he said. Follow me. He's coming through a town called Jericho one day. Came to the other side of Jericho. Came to a sycamore tree. And was a little fellow named Zacchaeus. And he had climbed up in that tree because he was short of stature. He wanted to see the Lord. He wanted to see the Lord. But because he couldn't see over everybody else because he was too short, he climbed up this sycamore tree, and he's sitting there, and the Lord walks right under him and just stops. Scripture says the Lord looked up, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. There was a man that had been dead for 4 days. It was a man that the Lord loved. Had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And he had been dead now, and the Lord came to the place. He told him, he said, roll the stone back. Martha told him, he said, well, Lord, you know, he's been dead. Been dead 4 days. By now he's going to start stinking. And the Lord spoke, and this is what he said, with a loud voice. Lazarus, come forth. Whenever the Lord was pleased to call, he called by name. He called in authority. He called in a particular way to a particular people. And with every command, I want you to notice the swiftness of the response. To those two, Peter, Brother Andrew, when the Lord said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, here's what Scripture says. And straightway, immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, right now. Their daddy was with them. And he left him right there. Whenever the Lord called Matthew the publican, walked by that receipt of custom, and he said, follow me. The Scripture says, and he arose, he stood up and followed him. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And the Scripture says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Lazarus, come forth. The Scripture says he came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And the Scripture reveals that concerning Joseph. Whenever Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and the Scripture says, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. Oh, wonderful picture of the effectual call and the immediate effect. God's people, when the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, calls God's people, they come. They come with a heart made willing in the day of God's power. They come. It's effectual. Irresistible grace. They don't resist the call of the Lord. God calls and they come, but I want you to notice, too, it brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment. Here, Joseph summoned, brought out, shaved himself. I read where the Egyptians, according to my reading of their custom, I'm just talking about the custom now. We'll look at the spiritual end of it right here in a second. They took great care, I found out, when it came to the matters of cleanliness. Shaving of the head was part of this. They made a great point concerning cleanliness. But here Joseph shaving, changing his raiment. It pictured, you know this, you know it pictured much more than just the Egyptian tradition of cleanliness. While Joseph liberation from prison was a type of a rescue, the deliverance of God's people from the bondage of sin. His shaving set forth the truth of all that are found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, being cleansed, being washed. John 15:3, clean through the word which he has spoken unto us. God's sheep are not cleansed by the works of the law, but they are cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed at Calvary. That cleansing fountain which has been proclaimed and preached through the Word of God and believed upon by faith. Truly, there's nothing that cleanses a sinner before God but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What a truthful line in that song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be cleansed. We're cleansed by his blood. That blood that was shed for the putting away of our guilt, the cleansing of that guilt, washing away. So Joseph not only shaved himself, but the scripture said he also changed his raiment. He was going to stand before Pharaoh. He's going to stand before the king. And so his raiment was changed. He set forth that beautiful truth that we know and believe by faith that we're all in need of being cleansed and having a change of our raiment. This we're born into this world with it, but the old former garments and rags of self-righteousness, filthy rags of self-righteousness, and that we need cleansing. We need to be washed from our sins and have that robe of his precious righteousness to robe us before God. We need to be loosed from the grave clothes of death, as Lazarus was loosed when he came forth. Scripture says, bound hand and foot, and the Lord said unto them, loose him. Let him go. Cleanse him. Cleanse him. Get those grave clothes off of him. Oh, what a wonderful type of the picture of our precious Savior who has washed us and robed us in his own obedience and righteousness. Christ Jesus, who like Joseph was especially loved of his father. Just think how we've been brought up to this point right here. He was loved of his father, hated of his brethren, and despised and rejected of his brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. Came to his own. His own received him not. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world, he who knew no sin, but was made sin. He was without guilt, but he'd borne the guilt of his people, willingly submitting himself. Joseph was not guilty of the crime to which he was accused, accused by Potiphar's wife. But he was put into prison for a crime he didn't commit. The Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself to be the bearer of the people, to bear their guilt in his own body. And he didn't personally commit that, but that he might satisfy the law's demand for justice and thereby be the Savior of his people. He submitted himself, and he bore all the sins. Now he's truly found now to be the Redeemer of his sheep. He died, he was buried, and having truly suffered 3 days later, he was gloriously raised from the dead. Just pictured in Joseph's being released from that prison. When Christ came out of the tomb, the scripture says, Acts 13:29-30, and they they had fulfilled all that was written of him, took them down from the tree, laid him in a sepulcher. But listen to this. But God raised him from the dead. Whenever Pharaoh sent for him, had a beautiful picture. God raised him from the dead. Picture of Pharaoh being as the father. Christ Jesus, from the place of shame and suffering to dignity and glory, from the willing submissiveness to be in the dungeon, the Lord made sin, willingly submitting himself to the will of the Father, to be raised from the dead to the throne of glory. Life from death. That's what's shown in Joseph's delivery out of this one verse of Scripture right here. And then finally, for this evening, Joseph, the Scripture says, came in unto Pharaoh. Now, just look with me, and I'll look at that last little phrase. He came into Joseph, unto Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself, changed his raiment, and he came in unto Pharaoh. Now, Joseph, here's a beautiful type of resurrected glory. That's what I entitled this message tonight. Resurrection glory. How wonderfully we behold the reward of the Father concerning the glorious obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital V. The Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, said unto my Lord, capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D, unto Adonai, the Messiah. Jehovah said to the Messiah, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Beloved, truly, we see through a glass darkly. The Scripture declares that we do. But bless God, we do see. We see something. In that one verse of Scripture, we see something of the glory and the truthfulness of that which was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to the two on the road to Damascus. I've read this so many times, but how true has it proven itself to be as we go through these Scriptures? And we see Christ, and we see Christ, and we see Christ. And every time we see him, we rejoice. We see him. How many times have I said this? If this is just a one verse of Scripture on a fella, it was a mix-up. This guy's wife accused him, falsely accused him, and the husband got mad, and they had him thrown in jail, and he stayed in jail, and then he came out. And if it was just history, it would mean nothing to us. But when we see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, providentially he was brought as the Lord Jesus Christ came, sent of the Father, to do the work of the Father in the redemption and salvation of his people. Joseph is going to be exalted second only to Pharaoh. If you want anything, if you want to eat, you're going to have to go see Joseph. You go see Joseph. You got a problem? You see Joseph. Joseph is going to be shown to be the Savior, the salvation of his whole family. And there's famine in the land. His daddy's going to send his sons. His son's going to come. You know the story. We're going there, Lord willing. But here we see how providentially, how the Lord's bringing Joseph through all these sufferings, pictures of the suffering of our precious Savior. He came into this world, the suffering servant who knew no sin, but bore all the affection, made like unto his brethren. One who's sympathetic to all of our sufferings and trials and tribulations. Everything that we suffered, he suffered. And here's Joseph in jail for years, delivered out. And the Scripture says, and he came in unto Pharaoh. Truthfully, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, the Lord said to the two on the road to Emmaus, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We see him in that passage of scripture, our heart rejoices and we say amen. Amen. I pray God bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, Gary.